First of all, I didn't ask to announce that there will be a store for our Shul San Sofrano Zohar. This coming Monday, we will change the class lesson, 12:15 in the main place measure. All right. In the Inyan Linyan Vaisi, and you spoke about adoption last time in terms of Sule Kol. And for today, the next item on the agenda was writing the ksubah for an adopted child. Perhaps the obvious ages are the ones that have to be discussed first. Writing then, and then the father's name, Al-Shem HaMagadloi, is simply not acceptable. It is not a son. It's an adopted parent, or whatever that means in terms of other legal systems. Halacha doesn't recognize it. Hagam in Halacha, Magadliosim, Bechay Fesa, Imalo, Vakosa, Kilu, Gidloi. It may help not to pass the Bidiyeva, maybe. And I don't think we have to talk about suing Bidiyeva, but it's certainly not to be done with Hatzilu. By the same token, the problem is one that is more emotional, whatever, than real, because for a lot of reasons, these people want to be recognized as the children's parents, and hence the father is the child's father. You also have the same shadow with Aliyah Latir, except Aliyah Latir is, well, possibly Aliyah used the wrong name. Whether it's proper or not is a separate parashah. The second age it would be to write, you cannot write, again, we have to deal with the adopted children of various categories. When the child is non-Jewish and adopted, you must write the Avraham Avinu, otherwise it may even be possible to be able. The child is a ger, and a ger you have to indicate is a ger, so it's either Pliny HaGer or Ben Avraham Avinu. And to leave out the word Avinu is tantamount to creating a situation in which the reader of the Ksuba thinks it's not a ger and hence it's a different person. That's why it can be possible to be a ger. If you leave out the word Avinu and you get the ger, it's possible. And L'chur Huadin Huatam in the Ksuba, if you write Pliny Ben Avraham and leave out the Avraham Avinu, it looks like somebody else because this child is a ger, and the person who's producing the Ksuba is not a ger, so it can't be the same person. The basic problem, so now let's go to the cases when you're not dealing with a non-Jewish adoption. When it's a Jewish adoption, when it's a non-Jewish adoption, seems to be open and shut, there's not much to talk about. The ksuba should be written plainly, then Avraham Avinu, the child's a ger. When you're dealing with a child who is born, yes?
What happens if the name of the Shlomo or some other name?
I'll talk about that in a second. When you're dealing with a case in which the child isn't a ger, either the mother was Jewish and don't know who the father is, it's a shtuki we spoke about last time, a kosher shtuki, but there is such a thing of the mitzvahs of Moshe and others, and they have Jewish, speak about what is the mitzvahs of shtuki, even if halacha doesn't have the dini of a shtuki. You're dealing in a case where you know the mother and you don't know the father. You presumably don't know the mother's name. Otherwise, you could write the mother's name and then leave it at that, although that might also present certain problems we'll see in a moment. In cases where you have a Jewish father, but you don't know the name of the Jewish father, you have the identical problem. And the question then is what to write in the case of a Jewish child where Ben Avraham Avinu is not appropriate. So as somebody pointed out a moment ago, the first shaila is whether you can be machzik eshem ha'av, even though it's incorrect. In effect, this person has been kiveya eshem for a non-existent father, the Yishan of the father's name. Although it is somewhat different from a standard case of being Rishon of the father's name, because this person is trying to change the mitzvahs, he would like to change reality. He would like the adopted father to be recognized as the natural father, which is simply not the case. But there is a machlokes rishonim with regard to whether or not you could be machzik a shem of, which is a shinui hashem. For purposes of halacha, let's start with the aleph. For purposes of halacha and la'avdol el-avdol is common law. anybody can take any name that he wants, as long as it's not for purposes of fraud. You don't have to change your name through a court petition in order to change your name. You can change your name without a court petition. You need a court order or if you want to have official records expunged or changed. But there's nothing illegal to walk into a bank and to open an account with the name Patty Yankel or John Doe and sign John Doe's name to begin calling yourself John Doe, as long as you don't commit fraud in the process. Lahavdil in Halacha, you can do the same thing. You can change your name. You can make any name you want, but that's for yourself. You can't change somebody else's name, or at least many Rishonim believe you can't change somebody else's name. The shaila is, if you want to be Mishana, the Shem Ho'ov, or be Mashik, a new name for the Shem Ho'ov. And here is a Machlokes Rishonim, and some, it's very interesting, some Rishonim say you can't altogether. Some say you can do it only if the father's dead. The father's dead, so it's Malik Pasway. And others say, Lehebeth, that he's dead, how do you change the name of a person who's not living? If he's alive, you change his name. If he's dead, there's nothing to change. If the shaila I was confronted with in a very serious way when I was being the sadler again in Moscow, and I discovered two edim, Shem Remitzvah, what was called Bali Shuva, Tinika Nishvah, who now are Nechayu. And both tell me the name, it's Ben Avraham, and I ask if they're brothers, and I get a smile. It turns out that at least half of the Bali Shuva in Russia are called Ben Avraham. And I ask them, where'd you get this name Avraham from? They tell me it's a king of Shuva Beis HaKnesset. You know, they go to shul, and the Amorats in the shul, they want Aliyahs, and they want a Shem Ha'av. Instead of doing what they should do by calling him Shimon ben Vladimir, they call him Shimon ben Avraham, and now we've got a problem. You have this fellow who wants to sign on the get Shimon ben Avraham, and that's not just my place for training. He wants to be Mishan and Hashem. Well, the father is very much alive. The father never had a bris and never had a name. He grew up with the communists, of what I want from the poor father. But the father never had an aliyah, and the father has no interest in being Matzah Hashem Yisrael, and it would do, there's just no way to be Matzah Hashem Yisrael for the father. And the shaila is, well, the son can be Matzah, the Shem Ha'ah. It's a problem. Mele, what's to be, this isn't going to solve the adoption problem, because these people, the Dafka, want to have the name of the adopted father, and certainly want a Hebrew name rather than some other name. In terms of the adoption cases, when you're dealing in a situation in which there is an adoptive parent and the child either has no Jewish parent or has no Jewish father, or the name of the Jewish father isn't known, it seems to me that there are different shittos machronim, even though, to the best of my knowledge, I don't have any achronim who deals with this case explicitly. The ones that talk about the shaila in its various guises speak in cases where there was a father, but the name of the father is not known. There was a Jewish father, but he's not available. Or another truth I'll show you in the Chris Marsh in a moment, a woman had been maxic herself in a Hebraicized name of her father who was not Jewish. His name was Joshua or something, and she was maxic herself Ben Yehoshua, but she was maxic herself as Ben Yehoshua. Let me go back to the basic shaila. There are several ways to deal with this. One way is to write Reuven Ben Shimon Hamagadlah, and that's the eighth that I don't like. So it certainly wouldn't possible it. Reuven Ben Shimon Hamagadlah certainly won't be possible to the other, but it's not Ben Shimon Hamagadlah. The Likute Meir of, Grossman, the London Besdin. The London Besdin apparently in similar cases, right, Reuven ben Shimon Shegidloi puts the word Shegidloi in parentheses. I don't see the benefit of parentheses, and certainly parentheses is not a Dover HaMakubal, although I should caution you. And that's one way that's been done. No, none of the operating do that. That's the one source that I found that uses a device of this sort. Reuven ben Shimon Hamgadloi, or the Mitchim Shegibloi. Yes? No. We don't have the Paul. The Paul is not here. And the Megadol is known, but the Megadol is not the natural father. So there is the Usurai Reuven ben Shimon Shegidloi, put Shegidloi in parentheses. In general, I know of no source for parentheses. Parentheses is not Mukubal in Ksivas Gitin and not in Ksivas Shtoris, although I cautioned you that in the last week of Smaisha, one of the Shilas we spoke about last week, the first time, Rav Moshe has a slight variation on the case of somebody who didn't have a Shem Arisa, was a Shem Kodesh, but was assigned a Hebrew name. Or at least we spoke about a case where a Talmud Torah teacher assigns the name, it's used in grade school and whatever, and is forgotten afterwards. Rav Moshe Shaila was somebody who had an English name, went to Eretz Yisrael, took herself a Hebrew name, is known by all her friends by her Hebrew name, and I would have no problems whatsoever. I don't know what the Shaila is. She has a Shem Kodesh, and she's Musik in the Shem Kodesh, right? The Shem Kodesh. What's the big problem? If anything, the English name is Shaila. So that since she hasn't changed her name legally, and in all of her documents there is the English name, and he adds for good measure, it's Yosef Mistaver that she'll go back to America and use the English name all over again. Therefore, you can't ignore the English name. No, so you can't ignore the English name. So I would have written Sora Hamachuna Susan or whatever. Says Rav Moshe, but we don't write the Miskra and the Chulin and the Ksuba, so what should you do? You should write the English name and Liesa say, write the Hebrew name and the English name, and you can put the English name to say Ruki. I even have the impression that you can spell it in Latin letters, but it, like many of those Ksubas, it's not clear. And he says even to write it in parentheses without a Chulin, without a Miskra. Mele, he says it, I wouldn't do it. But it's there. That's the only source that I know of a parentheses of one kind or another. In this case, the simplest dates, and to me, the one that is most consistent with all the principles that I'm aware of, is quoted in the Minchas Yitzchok, in the name of earlier Achronim, but you'll find the Minchas Yitzchok, Chelet Dalet, Zimin Memfes, Oiz Dalet. The Minchas Yitzchok, and he was talking in a case which is similar, and I think that would apply in our case as well. His aid is to write Pliny the Mystery, Pliny Ben Pliny. Now you have to be careful. The Mystery is because it's not Ben Pliny, it's called Ben Pliny. The Megadol isn't his father, and everybody thinks he's his father. So I'm writing Reuven the Mystery Ben Shimon, he's called Ben Shimon. But you can't write Reuven the Miskri Ben Shimon. The Miskri means people call him Ben Shimon. Nobody calls him Ben Shimon. That's not his name. His name is Reuven. His name is Ben Shimon. Everybody has a patronym. You're Reuven, and your father has a name. Ben Pliny doesn't mean your name is Ben Pliny. It means you're the son of whoever is the second Pliny. So you can't write Reuven the Miskri Ben Pliny. That's no Musa. That's a Shimi Hashem. Unless people call him, Ben Pliny. But nobody calls him Ben Pliny. Therefore, you have to write Reuven the Miskri Reuven Ben Shimon. He's called Reuven Ben Shimon, but he's not Reuven Ben Shimon. I think that's the clearest way, and the one that has the most solid basis in our learning. Yes.
That's being told us earlier.
I wouldn't make a big deal out of an allusion, although it can be Masa Hashem, but Toyus. What will happen is that he'll get it, will be called Ali Rufin Ben Shimon, and the Masada Kedushin will write Rufin Ben Shimon in the Ksuba, because the Masada Kedushin won't know any better, we don't even know it's adopted or what have you. Bichlal, there is such a thing as Midbar Shekhar Tirkot. I don't want to talk about adoption, it's not my topic. But Bichlal, the contemporary phenomenon of trying to create institutions in which the adoptive parents are treated for all intents and purposes as if they were natural parents, I think is incorrect for a lot of reasons. First of all, you can't change facts, you can't live a Shekhar. I think it creates psychological problems. And it certainly leads to problems in halacha. I am my visceral reaction is against anything that tends to pass off in that in the adopted child as a natural child. And an aliyah, root of Ben Shimon, where the Shimon is the Megadol, is a typical way of passing it off as a natural child. It's a very interesting, again, it's not the topic, but there's a little piece from our thinking in which our thinking objects to calling natural parents mommy and daddy. He says they should call it aunt and uncle. And he's absolutely right. I mean, that's the report. Nobody wants to do it. But the way to prevent it from being perceived as a natural relationship. Perceiving as a natural relationship can only lead to all kinds of trials and trouble. Yes?
Don't you have adverse psychological impact for kids growing up in school and they kind of just called up and called them to show up in Chicago or something like that?
So, but it's true. So he's got to live with it. It's not his father. I mean, want to tell me this is his father. It's not his father.
Not everybody is at all ages, right?
I'm sorry?
You know, not every child is a Chinese.
But a Jew has no choice but to deal with this because there are Israeli people, there are Israeli people in the issue, and you've got to deal with it. You know, it's difficult. You have to deal with difficult situations. And one of the ways, I mean, let the psychologist tell you how to handle it. But it seems to me that the a priori is that you can't allow these children to think that they are natural children for a lot of reasons. So, the Aliyah L'Torah is one of the ways and one of the problems. The Aliyah L'Torah, you're dealing with what is the Shtuki to Mitzvahs, it's not a Shtuki to Halacha, so you don't have a problem. So, what? My right. Yeah. What's wrong with the name alone? The name. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, right? Yahweh, Reuben. That's a Shtuki's name. The Shtuki doesn't have a Shem Alah. His father's not known. There's no known father. The problem when you come to a ksuba is that people will think it's a shtuki and din. It's not a shtuki and din. And I won't pass all the ksuba. But again, when you're dealing with cases where people think that the adopted father is the natural father, you have at least what looks like a problem. And that's why they were all looking for ages. Otherwise, you write the same and finish. And the simplest way, I mean, again, in the Aliyahs, you're not going to change the world. Aliyahs, they are going to call him Hashem HaMagadloi, and I would call him Hashem. I have Reuben, Ben, Shimon, HaMagadloi. He's the one HaMagadloi. What kind of can't harm? You've at least partially made the father happy as well. In the Ksuba, Ben, Shimon, HaMagadloi is the Nusach. The clearest nusach, I think, is the one quoted by the Mishnah. She is called Reuben, the mystery Reuben Ben Shimon. Reb Moshe has a somewhat different formula, but his formula is in a case in which there was a Jewish father, only the father was unknown. Reb Moshe's nusach was Reuben Ben Mishnishtakach Shemoi, the Nikro Ben Plainish Agidla. Right? Reuben, Ben Mishnishtakach Shmoi, V'nikro, Ben Ploinish Agidla. It's long. I don't know what you gain over the demiscuity. Only it makes it clear exactly what's happened. You know the father was Jewish, and you know that he's not around, and the name that you're using, the Ben Ploinish, is Hashem HaMagadla. So, Ben Mishnishtakach Shmoi, V'nikro, Ben Ploinish Agidla. Now, this is an etzah only if the father was Jewish. Ben Mishnishtak HaShemoy is not an etzah if the father wasn't Jewish. It's not Ben Mishnishtak HaShemoy, he didn't have a father, the boy's not a father. It's not Ben Mishnishtak HaShemoy. So his etzah in Chelek Aleph Tzadik Tes is an etzah only in the case when you're dealing with a Jewish father. And why this is better than the Mitzvahsiyat talks, I'm not at all certain. Yes? No, he wasn't calling him. He said, Ben Mishnishtak HaShemoy. That's good enough. Ben Nikro, he's called Ben Plainish Agidloi. Yeah, it's not as clear. I that's why I like him to say this better. Ben Nikro, he has Ben Nikro, Ben Plainish Agidloi. He's not called Ben Nikro. But it's not that the Russian Ben Nikro doesn't sound like a Demisker. Although it's the Hebrew equivalent of Demisker. That's why I prefer the Mishnah. Yeah. Yes.
What happens if there was nobody who raised him with a single parent family and there wasn't a Shemitaka? They don't know. Here, in the year Shemitaka, let's assume there wasn't anybody who was Shemitaka. It's just mother and
There was a father, and we don't
know. No, it's a student, we don't know the father is, and there was nobody who adopted or accepted. God will need somebody else to raise the child.
You have a naturally born child, the parents are divorced, the father went off someplace, and we don't know his name.
Okay.
Right? What's wrong with that? Nobody knows this is Stooky, and we don't know his father's name, so we can't write. Because it's not Shtaka Shemai. A Stooky, the symbol of a Stooky is the name with nothing more. And you're right, Reuben Ben, Mishne Shtaka Shemai, it means the name was once known, and now we don't know. We don't know it because he got lost, he went off, who knows? There's another truth in the Hebrew Moshe, Ebenezer, Chelik Bey, Simon, Chol Beis. Now that was the case where it was a non-Jewish father. But with a non-Jewish father, and the girl was machzik herself, she had Mishaberash apparently, so from, you know, from or relatively from, and this was a, you know, the get written this way. She was, whatever her name was, Bas Yeshua. And Yeshua seems to have been the hebraization of whatever the Hebrew name was. Whether it was Mamish Joshua or not, I don't know. It's difficult from the Shaila. And here you were dealing with something after the fact. It was the Eved. And Rav Moshe says that the Nusach of our future, the Nusach should be as follows. He says she should write whatever her name was, Bas, the mother's name, She'ichziko atzmo b'shem Bas Yeshua, which is again a convoluted nusach. You've got Leiv Bas Sora, She'ichziko atzmo b'shem Bas Yeshua. Now, the Lashon, just as I'm using, is a paradigm. If you were to write in the ksuba of an adopted child, Pliny Shehichzik Atzmei Hashem, then Pliny, it also would be good for a measure. It's no worse than Ben Mishnishtaka Shmei, Ben Nikro, Ben Pliny Shegidla. So in this case, it's not Mishnishtaka Shmei, it's Reuben. Sheyichzik Atzmai B'shem Ben Pliny, or something to that effect. Now all of this is very convoluted, and I don't see why it's better than the Mitzvah Yitzchok. And the Mitzvah Yitzchok sounds to me to be more compatible with the general pattern of changes. Reuven, the mystery Reuven Ben Shem. Yes. No. This Joshua doesn't exist. This Joshua was the father, the Goyisha father. And she went, she changed the Goyisha father's name to Yeshua. The Minchas Yitzchok, if I remember correctly, was a case where the father wasn't around. He wasn't known. It was, I don't remember, was it Goy or wasn't it Goy? Yeah, I don't see any difference. It's the same. The same thing should apply in case of an adopted child when the mother was Jewish, but you don't know who the mother was, you don't know who the father was. So his ASA seems to be a simple ASA. It seems to be the clear, the simplest and the best in terms of what you usually do. And it's easier if you're not pleased to read the mystery under the chuppah when you're reading the chuppah. If the people aren't generally aware of the fact that it's about the child. Again, in an adopted case, you're not going to know the Shem Lehi. If you do know the Shem Lehi, you can use the Shem Lehi.
In a normal case,
you know the mother's name. The father wasn't Jewish, you use the mother's name. The only reason to go through it, it remains Maglia in half a sentence, if most people don't know she's adopted, she doesn't look like somebody else. If most people don't know that it's adopted, then Eliezer says it's probably kedai to write the Shem Ha'og in one form or another. But I certainly don't think it will possibly be stupid, particularly if somebody knows that she was adopted, as indeed they should. the child knows their doctor, the person knows their doctor, the people in the unit is only human. It seems great, not really. But it certainly shouldn't pass along, even if most people think that she's adopted. But the SSA is, if people think that this is a natural child, I don't see why you can't use the miscreants or the remission states.
So the Sadiq Commission has to find out where the Sadiq.
The first thing that the Sadiq Commission has to ask is whether it's a natural child. You always have to ask that today. Because you may discover that it's a shake, there was no virus. You could discover that also. You may discover that you're dealing with a child who the deen has a deen of a good. Even, you know, you may not be a good, who might still be garrison and stuff longer. And then you have a problem with the shaykhs. So this is the second, the next line of shaykhs. How to write the ksuba is in the top of shaykh.
Even you have to question artificial insemination.
Do you have to question artificial insemination? I don't think you have to be chishish for artificial insemination, but I don't think it harms to ask if it was a natural child and to emphasize that by natural can be natural, think of discovering the note. Artificial insemination, now test two babies and pretty soon surrogate mothers, who knows what. And then we have all of those problems to deal with. I assume from your question, taking for granted that it's an artificial insemination, that the donor is not the father. And artificial insemination is the ability to lift it open. All right. Well, you know, the problem is the husband is the donor. And it's also, it's not to be made lightly of. How to write a ksuba with artificial insemination, AIH, using the husband semen, is a shayla halacha. The question is whether you give it to the father, it's given to the father, it's not given to the father.
Boy, you're a godly.
Yeah, I'm a godly, a donor. I don't know exactly what you're going to write, but you've got to certainly have a problem. It's far, far from another question.
There's nothing you normally have to be chashish for.
I don't think you ordinarily have to be chashish.
I'm sure I said yes, that you do suggest that you do go to a godly father.
That's the Beis Shmuel, that's the smack of the whole, that's where it all starts. It's a clear machlekes hafeiskim whether the zeres miyuchis, and it has not been as legami the kim bir birivya, legami the saroyes of krei oh, harai ksuba, and a lot of other things. You know, from almost the ridiculous to the sublime. I mean, it's a clear, it's a definite child halacha, but you know, it was not be machriya that child today. We'll use that for some other time. All right, so we've dealt with the ksuba of the mu'umot. Again, as long as we're dealing with the ksuba itself, there are one or two other points that I should make. The printed ksubas don't have the word mosa. They leave it blank. The word mosa should be included. That's how you write a ksuba. You write the ksuba and you say that you've got the name of the city, then you have to indicate that it's a city. Because there's cities and there's a ktar, and there are places that aren't anything. And the indication is that it's a given city. Now, in the Nachla Shiva, I've seen Nuskois that say year instead of Mosa. If you write year, it's certainly kosher. If you do write Mosa, so now the shaila is, do you write New York Mosa, or do you write Mosa New York? Does the Mosa come before the city, or does the Mosa come after the city? And let's see, in the last Igros Moshe, it's Eben Ezer, Sim, and Kuf, and it must be Oiz Gimel. If you look in Eben Ezer, Sim, and Kuf, Kokhes. By the way, before I forget, when you write Sultador is spelled Beis Sof Vov Lamed Tov Aleph. I sat at a get where the ksuba was produced, and the Masada Kedushin was a role, I won't say a role McPherson, a rabbi McPherson, and Sultador was spelled Samed. Not once, but throughout the whole ksuba. That's just going too far. Rav Tankin, the friend of Lebrocha, Sadiq that he was, said undoubtedly the Shamus is inside of the ksuba, not the Sadiq, not the rabbi. The only problem was the shamans in that shul had to learn a lot more than the rabbi. Anyway, with regard to Moshe and whether it comes first or not, if you look in that Ebenezer Simon Kuf Chof Ches, the Kristi Moshe Plenis Vein Shir Gdei Lechtano V'lo Yichtei Plenis Moshe Elo Moshe Plenis. Now, the Vishmul other operating say that there is a difference between a situation in which you write the Nahoris or whether you don't write the Nahoris. And if you look at the Igros Moshe bringing the earlier Achronim, Heich the Chesin the Yatzal Nahar Chesin the Plenis Moshe the Yatzal Nahar so and so. The Eichad in Chesin the Yatzal Chesin the Moshe Plenis. Since in the Ksubi you don't write the Shemesh on the Horos, then the normal way of writing it would be Moshe New York instead of New York Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe himself quotes a Groh, the Biur HaGroh, Ebenezer Kuf Chokhes, who disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that he writes Plenis Moshe Becholoy. In other words, in the Ksuba, he also writes Plenis Moshe, even though you don't write the Shem HaNoharis. To follow the Rambam, the way the Achronim understand the Rambam, you should be writing Moshe Pliny from New York instead of Pliny's Moshe. Rav Moshe says that the Groh is chelik on the Rambam, and he's machria according to the Groh against the Rambam. On what basis, I'm not sure. However, if you look in the Biur HaGroh, it's Sifkot Yud Aleph. It's Simin Kuf Kofes Nebenezer. It says the Groh, quoting an earlier source, She'ein Kfeivin, and he brings a writer from Yevomis, the city was written beside Plenius Moshe, or the Surah Moshe. It says the Groh, the Chol Hakitno Yechisim Chatzilakein, the Afagav She'opru Moshe Machsiye, the greater problem. You find sometimes in the Gemara Moshe comes before the city, and sometimes Moshe comes after the city. Now he brings the Raya from Moshe Maxi, the Gemara always calls it Moshe Maxi, not Maxi Moshe. Says the Groh that the Gitin Hoyukhisin Hashem Mikoidim. And apparently the Groh holds that in Gitin they wrote the Shem Mikoidim, whether or not he wrote the Shem Anor. Now, Rav Moshe says that the Groh is chelik on the Rambam. I'm not sure that there's a machlokes between the Groh and the Rambam in what's negayah to the Ksub. Yitin, there certainly is a machlokes. The Groh says that in Yitin they wrote the Shem before the word Moshe, whether or not there was a Shem Hanohar. But he says, he himself brings the Gemara that they used to write, Moshe Machsir. Well, he says, Begitin, they didn't, because his other Raya was the name that was written in the Get. It may be that for whatever reason, in Gitin they were Medayi, but elsewhere they weren't Medayi. And who said that in Shtori Chay, or in other things they were Medayi, and Sugatin was the Get? I'm not sure that there's a machlokes the Groh and the Ramah with regard to Sugatin. But nearly either way, it can't be wrong. The Rav Moshe's Machri according to the Groh to negate the Rambam, I also don't know. But I don't know. It has to be Machri between the Groh and the Rambam. Later Achronim, there is no Achronim. So either way you write, it won't be possible. So I think that most people write New York Moshe, not Moshe New York. And most people write New York Moshe, not because of Igros Moshe. They write New York Moshe because that's how you write it in Hebrew. And they don't realize that in Gittin it's written that way because the Shem HaNor always follows. We don't write again because there's no river. Now, earlier our brain did, but we don't write Gittin in cities that don't have Nahoros. So that for us, every time it goes New York Moshe, whatever, Plains Moshe, the Yatzval Nahar, so and so. So whoever did it for Ksuba simply did the same nusach that they were doing in Yidvur. Rabbeisha thinks that that's Kedin according to his analysis of the Beit Shmuel. But you know, certainly to leave out the word Mosa shows you that you have a Boki B'tiv Ksuba. It's not about the institution, but it's not a Boki B'tiv Nuschoi Ksuba if you leave out the word Mosa. The word Mosa should be there. We put it before or after. Doesn't make very much difference, yes.
In the reunion of Ksuba, where do you fit in that
reunion? Well, they leave space in the city. Right. Now, one thing, I don't have a Kareni to deal with this in Lush Kodesh. You always say Mosa, you don't write here. If you're going to write here in Hebrew, instead of Mosa, you know, my ear in Hebrew, New York ear doesn't sound right. The ear New York sounds right in Hebrew. In Aramaic, New York Mosa sounds better to me than Mosa New York, if anything. But so here, I presume, certainly would come before the name of the city. But I don't know. Yerushalayim, how do they write in the Ksuba to Yerushalayim? I don't know. I have no idea. They write Yerushalayim or HaKadosh sign. But that's because, you know, coming from here, HaKadosh, the whole phrase modifies Yerushalayim. It's not Yerushalayim here. It's Yerushalayim, you know, here, HaKadosh modifies Yerushalayim. It's not the city of Yerushalayim. It's Yerushalayim, the holy city. As distinct from the city of Yerushalayim.
Incorrect.
I don't know. Whatever the meaning is correct in Yerushalayim. They write Yerushalayim Rakud, you keep on writing. I doubt that they write that way. I would be surprised. Although the Ksuba. You can certainly write Mosul. And then on Ksuba, who knows who decided how they were going to write Ksuba. All right. Let's go on then to the next topic. Here's one little item that's not here, and it's elementary, and that is that the Bocher Hazetzer, the printers, are Amar Absin. What would we expect better from them? But most Nuskois, with the exception of, well, most printed Tzeit Sin, with the exception of the Sora publications once upon a time, had their own Ksubas. And Snowy and what have you, are they the ones who printed it? The ones in Ksav Ashuri, they look nice, and the Nusach is Midoyi, and there, it's printed properly. But you will find most printed, I won't say all, but most printed versions, the Hakol Shur Vekai is very nicely centered on the left line. Now, the whole purpose of writing Hakol Shur Vekai is not part of the Nusach. And Hakol Shur Vekai isn't even what lawyers call boilerplate language. Hakol Shur V'Kayim is put in at the end only so that the document concludes at the end of a line. And the words Shur V'Kayim have a kuf and a resh and a mem, the letters that you can elongate in order to make it end at the end of a line so that nobody can add anything. The whole purpose is to prevent the possibility of zeal. Now, in the end, it's the least of the problems. So where it really is a problem is when they give you blank spaces. To write in the name, to write in Monet, to write Mosayim. If you write Mosayim, the next word is Zuz. Who's to prevent in each space? Who's to prevent somebody from writing Mosayim Ellen Zuz? It's as small as three letters, and the difference in the value is phenomenal. You don't write a Ksuba's Yochel his diet. There's a simple way to prevent that. And that is to take a pen and draw a line. And if you want to be neat, take a matchbook and a ruler, and you write a straight line, but you draw a line or two lines so that nobody can be mamal with the shita. And you do the same thing at the end if you're using a printed thing. You've got a whole sort of a kind in the middle. So you put lines at the beginning and the end to fill up the line. And also some of them leave space more than the requisite space between the teifis and the chesim ha'seif. The eidim are supposed to sign right underneath, and if they aren't right underneath, so you got to make lines, or else tell them to ignore whatever it says underneath, and to sign the name right on top. Aga, again, it's got nothing to do with this, and I apologize for the elementary material, but before the eidim sign, you should ask the eidim to sign their name on a scrap of paper, to make sure that they know how to sign their name. You have to know the spelling. Remember, for example, that somebody whose name is Lay is supposed to spell it Lamed Yud Beis, not Lamed Yud Yud Beis. He's been signing his name Lamed Yud Yud Beis all his life. and he's going to get very upset with you when you tell him to spell Islam with Yud Beis. But you have to teach him how to spell the name. And there's some people who have Shemois Laz that you have to also know how to sign the name and how to spell it properly. And from the Daik, the Chsimus Eidim, the same way you're Medaik in the Shemus Indigate. Male of the Chsimus Eidim gives a Hanesha gift. Particularly if they ordinarily sign differently, it may not possible. But there's always a Lachatila before the Diyah. You certainly have to get them to sign properly. And the proper way for them to sign, particularly if you are ignoring the printed material, is Reuven Ben Pliny A. The letters I and Dalit at the end. Of course, it's not Max. He's out the A, it's nothing. But if it's not on the printed material, you should write it that way. So, yeah. Underneath the Chsimus A, nobody cares. You know, underneath the Chsimus A, it makes no difference. It's not. Yes? Yes? So what? Distinctive handwriting is not noxious. A shtar doesn't possible a shtar. Somebody will come with a shtar written in two different handwritings. I don't know why that's going to be good. Why not? There's no halacha that says that you have to have one sefer, not two sefer. You have a shtachlein, and this is how we start. Somebody will come with an IOU, a promissory note, and the promissory note's a form, and you fill in the blank, and it's filled in the two different handwritings. What then is going to pass on the shtach? Why should it be possible?
Well, yeah, because the person who comes and says, this is how I handle,
you will be an eight effort to negate the 280 with a shtach. Two signs of shtach. St. George will have the Moshe Shnai. It's coming saying it's Mizuyi in the fifth, right? And you have the Eidim Aksum al Shtar who claims not Mizuyi. No, you gotta be careful. You gotta do it right. There was another hand up? What is it? No? Okay.
I have to raise it for you.
The rule is not necessary. The rule is not necessary.
It's good.
What?
It's
good.
The
Eidim is being substituted. Yeah, the rule might go where the rule comes from. Yes?
Last name?
We spoke about that once before. Are you right off? Was it the first time or last time? In any event, I don't want to repeat it. It's on the tape. You know, get it to the tape. Yes.
Place is really a town.
A place that's really a town? Well, it shows what the halacha is called. The Jewish right kfars. There aren't very many places that have a din of a village. It's my name. There was once, before they began writing in Mansi, there was a shaila where the Mansi is an ear, and Mansi isn't an ear. And that material is digested in an article that appeared in all places, the Jewish Observer. But Mansi is an ear, and there's no question it's an ear. There may be, there could be some little place, someplace or other that's a club. And if you're Masada Kedushin in a country club, in the middle of no place, you may find yourself with the shaila on what to write. It may not even be a car. Then you'll have problems. Yes?
We couldn't write such and such a place in a car.
Kfar?
Kfar such and such.
If it has a din of a kfar. The shadow is what has a din of a kfar in Allah. Let's not get off onto that now. Yeah. Alright? Now, the next item is Gulas Atzmai. And here, I gave you a number of sources in the Hebrew Mishnah. The first one is Chelek Aleph, Ebenezer, Simeon, Kuf Aleph. Now, in Chelek Aleph, in the first Shuvah on Gulas Atzmai, Rav Moshe's Shuvah is limited to someone who got married Nisui Arkoit, civil marriage. And later there was Seder Kiddushin, Kedas Meshach Yisrael, and the Shaila was, what the Chiv Ksuv. Rav Moshe's Mechadish, that in that situation, only, there is Me'ikir Hadin, a Chiv Ksuv of Mosayim Zuz, at least for some Rishayim, although he concedes that too is a Machlokes Rishayim. The sources deal essentially with something entirely different. The sources of it, the strongest sources, deal with the sea cotton or a gear and the Geiris, who were married as non-Jews, and then both were Megayer, and the Shaila then is, what's the Ksuba? Is the Ksuba one or is the Ksuba Masai? Kot is the easiest case to speak about. The Sui, Kot, forget about how it's Chal, how it's not Chal. At the time, by the time the Kotin is a Kotin, you can't even chayav herself anything. What kind of Ksuba chayav herself is a Kot? By the time she becomes a Godel, she's not a Ksuba anymore. So what's the Chiyiv Ksuba? So they're shining to say the Ksuba is Ksuba Masai. The question is, why is it Ksuba Masai? So the simplest analysis is that it's all al das nesuim v'rishayim, and even if this is Tnai Bezin, so this is part of the Tnai Bezin, that you got married, and the Mitzias, it was Kedushin, only it was a technicality, the Kedushin weren't Chal for some reason. He happened to be a Kot, he happened to be a Koy, no, mere technicality. But later, it is a kind of a continuation of the original Kedushin. Where Moshe argues, I believe it's much more complicated. I am grossly oversimplified. Where Moshe says that if somebody marries in Siyar Kodesh, it's clear he wants a marriage of some kind or another. And they live afterwards, the married Kedas, Moshe Yisrael, is a continuation of the original Kedushin and Ksuba is Mosai. Now, obviously, Yesh Mokah and Lechalim. The Siyar Kodesh is nothing. Siyar Kodesh is technicality. The Nesui Arkoyis is a lot more than just mere technicality. The person who gets married to Nesui Arkoyis, that's not Nesui altogether. It's Mises Nusbiyal. In any event, Rav Moshe himself holds that the Iker Hadin under those circumstances, the Ksuba is Mosayim, so he has no problem writing even the Chosin Lechi Midiraisa, and even writing Ksubado, because it's the Ksuba what was once Ksubado. In the second Ksuba, in Chelik, Dalit, Simit, Kuf, Yutet, where he deals with the more usual case of the Ksuba Fula, he makes the point which he had made in the earlier Ksuba, the simple point, and that is that the Chosin, you know, Chayim himself whatever he wants. It's no worse than the Ksuba. What's the big problem? Yeah, the Fula. Her Ksuba should be only Monet. And the Chosin wants to be Machayim himself, Messiah. He wants to be Machayim Messiah, so it's no worse than the Ksuba Messiah. In the second Tshuva, it's interesting. When Moshe says Kedviyarki, she says you should write Mosayim Kedviyarki, only that Kedviyarki was in the Sui Arkoyes, who was a totally their problem. She is a fool, and the Boston is willing to write Mosayim. There's no reason not to write Mosayim. The only problem is the word Tshuva. But Moshe has no problem with all that. Yeah, right. So you left out the way. You write for him before you write. If somebody would write it for you, he wouldn't write Iker and then the faces. He just writes the whole business. That happens.
You know, the
Chosin Lechi Duraisa is a problem. No, I have problems with Sultado and the Chosin Lechi Duraisa. It's not Chosin Lechi Duraisa, and you don't have Sultado, but so what? The Chosin knows. So about Vikido. He's Machayim himself, Mosayim. So we have a problem with the text. The text is incorrect, but the Chiyumi moment of the text are absolutely correct. As long as the Chosin wasn't a Muta, I don't see a Shiloh in the Halacha. Rav Moshe brushes away the Shiloh of writing Sultado, and even the word the Chosin Lechi Duraisa, to me, it is more of a problem than Rav Moshe makes. Rav Moshe brushes it away. To me, it's a problem that it's a Dvar Sheker Tircha. No, it's a Sheker. How can you write something that's a Sheker? It's not the Chosin Lechi Duraisa, and it's not a Sultado. How can you write it? But the Eitz, I think the Eitz is very simple. One thing is clear. The Eidim are not mechuyev to ask the Kala, which is a Ksuba, which is a Ksuba. If the Eidim have no information to the contrary, about it they're going to write. The Ksuba is on the Chosin Lechi Midiraisa. Unfortunately, by the same Harabim, when such things have happened, I have seen to it that the Eidim, Ksuba, had no reason to think that the Eidim who are taken, the Eidim Ksuba, had no reason to assume other than that she is a Ksuba. And they're writing the Tzivi HaBaal, the Baal has said Mosayim, and they're writing Mosayim, they're taking it for granted that it's not that it's just being Ksuba, and they're writing Sultado, and they're writing the Chosin Lechi Midiraisa without any problem. When the Eidim himself knows
I think it's a little bit more serious than Ramesha makes it out to be. Mele, it's not possible, but Rashi could say, for something. How can you go be made if this is a chotim of Kibbutz Arayis, or it's not a chotim of Kibbutz Arayis? Even though it doesn't come in Allah Allah. But if the Adim are unaware of it, nobody's going to free you to inform the Adim. That's why there's an answer. I've answered. Okay. That seems to me to be the simplest way to do that. Now, Chupa Akashki Esakama is the next. Yes?
What is that?
Right. Yeah. What, for the Masada Kedushin reading it under the Chuppah? The Masada Kedushin. Well, once I should have added, if you have a pregnant bride, don't write to the Chuppah. I mean, I think that's carrying a little too far. Yeah, you know, Christ of ancient now, you're writing Sulta Dov. Don't do it, everybody sees you now. What are you doing? The whole purpose of writing Sulta Dov is, you know, you don't have to disclose everything publicly. But when it is obviously public knowledge, what's the point of writing Sulta Dov when everybody sees it? So that, yeah, but when nobody is aware of it, I'm going to tell people. The Masada Kedushin, who has been told, presumably incompetent, that she's a bula, he's reading it under the book. That's not a Parashat Tirchot. He's reading what they pushed under his nose. This is what they signed. He's not saying anything. He's saying this is what it says here. That's what it says. That's what the document says. They read what it says.
The ceremony sort of
parse,
you know, the people, the audience, you know, it's
all so.
I mean,
what's the parse?
Is there also the Parashat?
What's the Parashat Tirchot? The Chokhm was Machayim and Chokhm Masayim. The Aidim knows how to know the Zuz. And the agents of the Habakkuk is Psul, they don't know differently. That everybody else there knows. They're not supposed to worry about what other people there know. No? Other people will assume that nobody else knows. Only they know these dark secrets. I don't see a problem. Now, in the case, when you have a pregnant bride, so we're not going to write Psul to the, you can write Tlainis to the. You can even write Ul to the, but I don't think it's necessary. Tlainis to the will do very nicely. No. So, they like the Yiddish plain, for those of you who are familiar with the phrase. Yes.
Going back to this question for a moment, I know in terms of young of faith, they were worried that if they change the stock too much, then the kahal loses respect to them.
Yeah.
Because if I have a kahal that knows that this woman isn't the Sultan, I believe the rough reading off that it is.
Look, you're absolutely right. If you're dealing with a situation in which the Baben is in the Harabi, nobody's embarrassed anymore. They've been living together publicly for who knows how long, and everybody knows it. I should probably say this earlier. When they've been living together, as I hear happens in some circles, before marriage and it hasn't been a secret, I regard that as comparable to the pregnant bride. I don't think you should write Sulta Dov there.
Right, If it is in secret, then people there who know, I'm not worried about that.
The parents also know. Everybody knows. No, everyone knows. There's nobody.
She had a first marriage who was married to the moms, and they made a cure of divorce. Now she's getting remarried to the young girl. She's getting remarried again.
That's the Machlachta Dov. She's a Grusha.
Is there any way to write Sulta Dov that people don't know?
Of course, I'm not allowed to either. There's all kinds. She's a Grusha. She's also a Kayan. You can't go right, even Rav Moshe, one of the things, when she's lived with a Kohen, he has to be cooking. Because there, Rav Sulta Dov will think she's kosher to a Kohen. Now, I put that aside. But when she's been lived, when she was in a Grusha, everybody, and you know she's a Grusha, and she's Muslim as a Grusha, you have to write Grusha. So she should have
written Grusha. The agents don't know, but people in the audience do.
What people in the audience? The Sada Kedusha knows. The Sada Kedusha knows that she's a Grusha. She has Mechui to tell you. And you have to ask this. If she's ever been married,
yeah.
If she's a Grusha, then a Ksuba is Mone, and you have to write Matrachta though. You have to say that she's a Grusha. It's also a kind. Right? There's no choice. Look, my the whole point, and again, maybe this is the generation gap, I'm not sure, but the Shilas, all the things that Rav Moshe wrote, were because people considered this a scandal. And they were looking, they didn't want a ksuba in which the word sultado isn't there. You know, Rav Moshe even says in one place that if you don't write sultado, then the chubi, if you read sultado, it's not written there. Now, so it's all for the pgam shpoche. If you're dealing with a situation where nobody cares less, then by all means, don't write sultado, write nonet. Yeah, what Dudley gained, the whole purpose of the game was to avoid an embarrassing situation. And it's only going to do is going to create snickers and not eliminate embarrassment, because nobody's embarrassed anyway, then who needs the whole spiel? Right? Come on, it's finished.
Of course.
And even if it's his own, Ramesh is my kriya, that Nadim, the Ksubas Masai, is Bulas Asmai. I wouldn't write it. I would write Mona, not Masai. Connected Ramesh. Yeah.
How does a woman have an emotion that she's a Bulas?
Before the wedding, she has an amount of places of the woman. It's a chay for her, not cool. Why does she have an amount of places of the woman? Even if she tells you she was Mizana, you can give the word. And she's on a nusa, and the nusa, so what? She's telling you that she's only entitled to a suba of money, for that she certainly has an amount. To tell you that she's entitled only to a money, of course she has an amount. Alright? I thought this would go a lot faster. I wanted to go on to Chupa Achar Shkia Tachano. Let me give you a number of additional sources. Shubas Beis Yankov, Simon Kuflamit Gimel. In Bob Mitzvah. Daf Zayin on the day. Tosfos Dibur Hamaskus is Mancha Habal Moide Yasser Isha. Did I give you a Nigris Moshe? Nigris Moshe Chelik Dalet Simin Kut Oite. Look at what Ramesh says on that basis. Please look at the Marsha on that basis and what the Vishanki said on the basis. And if anybody can explain places to me, I would be greatly indebted to you, but I don't understand places at all. Sorry. Chelik Dalet Eben Ezra. Simin Kuf Eis A. And also, places in Bok Mitzia, Yud Zayin Omer Alas. It's a long place. You'll see it on the subject. That places you should look at also. And this is a common shayla for me. You have a summer wedding. And the shkia is the 7:38, whenever it is, and you make the tzuba before the shkia, and the chupa is Ben Hashmoshes. What do you write? You write the day before, you write the day afterwards. I'll talk about that a little bit more about Rikas last time, next time. I simply won't have time to do that today. However, there's one other shaila that's not on the list, and the Indian, the Oisoi Indian. In the Chuvis of Yitzchok Doi Danburger, the Yad Halevi, there are a series of Chuvis, Chov Dalet, it's Ebenezer, Chov Dalet, Chov Hei, Chov Gimel also. Those Chuvis you should take a look at. You should also take a look in by the Zecher Simcha. Simen Zeifer Simcha Simen Kuf Ayin Ches. That's a different shaila. That's on Tabas Kiddush. As a matter of fact, let me do this quickly. Bor Shekivanti. Today, lots of people have engraving on wedding rings. Every ring comes stamped 14 karat gold, 21 karat gold, or what have you. And some of them come with designs of various kinds or another. Now, I have always been somewhat uneasy about using those rings. Lemaisa, what I have done is as follows. I have asked whether wedding rings are notoriously cheap. They don't cost very much. They are sold by weight. Depends on how much gold there is. What I have asked the chosen to do is to ask whether this has been sold to him by weight, and if the price per whatever it is per gram is the same plain and with the stamping or engraving, or whether there is an additional charge because of the artwork. If they charge me, you've got to go to the jeweler, you've got praise of rings. These he sells at $10 a gram, and these he's selling you at $12 a gram. What's the difference? The gold is the same. If he's selling you $12 a gram, then screw it, because of the artwork, the stamp, whatever it is. It's no great artwork. This, the dyes and the presses and whatever it is. But it's labor. It's charging you for the labor, whatever he's charging for. If they tell me that it's getting that it's more expensive because of this, then I have silence. If they tell me that it's the same price with the little curlicue or without the little curlicue, then I don't see any great shyness. Yes?
Wait, the 14 carat, you have a problem with that stamp thing?
No. I have no, with 14 carat, I have no problem. Yeah. The Zager stamps had problems with that. But you know, to me, it seems that it depends whether there is additional charge for the design, the artwork. Then it becomes like everything needs a shulman. And the girl may think that this is really very expensive. Who knows what it is? She doesn't realize that it's only a stamp of the press and nothing more than that. And she thinks she's, you know, it's something that's artistic or what have you. My real peak book is that even when there is no additional charge, I'm not sure that the Kala realizes that. But part of the asking is to tell the Kala that this isn't art, in case you thought it was.
Kala knows how much it is.
Also, that it doesn't eliminate all the shilas. You'll buy her a diamond ring and tell her how much it is. Who knows if they charge the correct price? Maybe they overcharged her and she really thinks it's worth that. That's all the shilas of what Nichum is the key, because she's saying it on what she believes it's worth. And the Mashain came where you're Makadish with Tiva, you conjure the hunk of gold. A hunk of gold is what it is, that's it. What meets the eye is it, nothing beyond it. When you're dealing with something that
I would say it could be something painted gold.
If it's painted gold, there's no
confusion. No, you're saying it's what it is by looking at it, but you can look at a ring and you think it's also worth something. I don't understand how what enough is for you looking at a hunk of gold in a ring.
No, there's no concern of Smith's that when something is no more no less than it portends to be. A hunk of gold is a hunk of gold. This is what I'm getting. You want to know how much it weighs? Go get a scale and put it on a scale. There's nothing to be fooled about. When you're Makadish with a diamond, diamonds need shuma because nobody knows what a diamond is worth. And the experts sometimes don't know either what the diamond is worth. They can disagree. That's why you need shuma to keep. Now, the question is, if lav dafka diamond, you can take a piece of gold and make it into a work of art, and it'll also need shuma to keep because it's worth what the art is, not simply what the gold is. That's, and then when you extend it to the whatever it is on the ring, it seems to me to be exactly the same thing. If you're dealing, some of them come just a little indent on top, indent on the bottom. Sometimes a little more fancy. The simpler they are, to me, the better. I can't conceive of the collar really believing that a little crease on top and a crease on bottom enhances the value of the ring. But if it does, then you've got problems. So what I said a minute ago was that part of the asking is to inform the collar that a little scratch on top doesn't add to the value, and you should not mistakenly believe that this is a work of art. So in such cases, what we're just saying about to avoid all shilas, plain, simple gold with nothing on it. Now, I finally found somebody to speak about it, this Bamberger, in the Zecher Simcha Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, and he has a second problem, too. He says that his father, that was a Zelig Bamberger, passed any ring that had Oisius Chokuk, and he says, V'shamati v'pi kotshoi, now, wherever you got a chikis, and Hilchos Shofar has a din of nipple. So here it's also nipple. Now, the plate, that's why I said he has a problem even when it says 14 carats. Wherever it's kokul, that part is nipple. No, and if it's nipple, so what? So, what is the din of Shofar? It's got a shear. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. But mainly, it says, "K'meichin etru lachshay shin nifl oisachemik shnokoyi leinikor tabas v'ariyimer betabas du nivloshim neyodim tabas." And tabas that has gold, we don't call it tabas. Today we certainly call it tabas. Did once upon a time didn't call it tabas. I don't know what the shayla is. Anyway, that shayla doesn't bother me. The gam omam mishum diyeshu lachshay the dat lachakikin. Now that's the word of Yiddish. If there's anything that approaches artwork, it may be Daito Hakikis. In Cain, it's a Daito Hakikis. It may turn out that she's not saying with us on the real value. Right, that's the Tabas Kedushin. Now, we're over time. All right, for next time, there's one other thing. I'll leave for next time also, but in the Tshuvas of the Yad HaLevi that I gave you, the first series of Tshuvas, there are a number that you don't want to know about, and that's whether a Rav can be an aid and also collect a fee for Siddur Kedushin. We'll talk about that too. It's not on the list, but we'll talk about that.